This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
You are listening to Lucha Underground.
Hello. Thank you for sticking with us this week. We were away. Well, Max is still away. It's Lucha Underground. It's Travis here, your old trusty dusty compatriot. But as I mentioned, Max is away. Very lucky to have via Skype here today, Titans of Wrestling co-founder, I guess. Is that right?
Technically not co-founder, because the three of us, Johnny, Pete, and myself, didn't appear until the second episode, but you can say Titans specialist or something.
Yeah, among many, many other things that we've talked about here. Before, Kelly Nelson, welcome back.
Hello.
Yeah.
Great to be here. Great to be back. My second time on the show.
Fantastic. Like I said, I apologize for things are a little bit behind right now, but Max is in Japan, so that slows things down. But also, I have been fortunate to be on set again for another really cool project where, I don't know, I'm sure, Kelly, I think you saw the pictures. I had a variety of mustaches where I aged throughout the years. I started as a young man to an old man. It's a really cool spot. It was a blast. It was amazing.
You're the new man of a thousand faces.
God, I could only wish. So it's been super nuts. But we've found some time here, so this should you should be getting to hear this just before the next episode starts, which will be episode 6. But that's not what we're here to talk about right now. Before we do talk about this. This is the last episode we'll do before I go to that Lucha Limitado show, so that should be really exciting, and it'll be really exciting to talk about it with our next host, our co-host, I'll reveal it now, fellow Titans member Pete will be joining us, who's been watching Lucha Underground through all of this, you know, I respect this guy's opinions like crazy, so that gives us a little bit of credibility that we didn't have before. Not that Mr. Nelson here doesn't bring it all the time.
Well, but with Pete, I think there's only maybe 3 or 4 people in the world that have watched more wrestling in the history of watching wrestling.
Yeah.
Than Pete.
I know that. Stuff. So that's, that's recognized every time I listen to something that he's on. So that's cool. But one last thing. I'm drunk with joy tonight for and also a little bit of Russell Brewery's fruit punch. Punch Bowl it's called. It's really good. It's an IPA. getting off on a tangent. But because the Cleveland Indians have advanced to the ALCS to take on the country's native sons, where I am here, in Toronto Blue Jays. So Kelly,
only in good times. Only in good times.
That's right. I assume you're cheering for the Jays.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a fan going back to the early '90s. Mm-hmm. I gave up on them about 4 years ago, and didn't get back into them until basically the last month of last season, when they made the charge to the playoffs for the first time. So I admit I basically jumped on the bandwagon last year.
Whatever. I think it's good when more people are watching baseball, because not a lot of people watch baseball most of the time in Canada, right?
And just in general, you know, baseball's often considered boring and all that by a lot of people. So it's great to see it in the spotlight again, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I'm like I said, I'm the only Indians fan in Canada, because Chad had asked us over a conversation online the other day. It's for two reasons I became an Indians fan. Number one is Sandy Alomar Jr. was my first favorite player. And that's when I really started getting into baseball. And number two, I watched Major League like every day. You know this.
You
right?
were, yeah, we you were up. Obsessed with that movie.
Yeah. So I got to turn things down here a bit. That sounds good. So, I've been a fan of theirs for a while now. But yeah, there I am in the crosshairs again. I'm a Calgary Flames fan living in Vancouver, and a Cleveland Indians fan living in Canada.
That's two strikes against you.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Anyways, so that brings us to what we're here to talk about today. Lucha Underground, Season 3, Episode 5. Starts with a recap. We see a bit of Dario's Dial of Doom. We see more of Prince Puma and Vampiro having their conversations. Mm-hmm. We also see some of Mil Muertes and Katrina. And then it reminds us of the Cajun Tejano series that is currently happening. In the first segment, we see Dario Cueto. Starts in the temple. We see Dario Cueto on the Dial of Doom. Kelly, this is the first time you'd seen the Dial of Doom, I assume?
Yes, this is the first season 3 episode I've watched.
But oh yeah, I should have given that disclaimer. But you are a loyal listener, am I right?
Yes, I've listened to every one of your podcasts except for the one where you weren't there and Max talked with like four people
that
weren't wrestling fans. I skipped that one.
That's cool. that's good. Yeah, no, devoted listener. So you know, you basically know what's going on.
Yes, through your guys' narrative, I'm an, you know,
that's cool. I like that.
Kind of an expert on Underground and
all. Let's go. That's awesome. So the Dial of Doom, what did you think?
It's you've mentioned it, how it's based on sort of like a Raw concept or a WWE concept, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it also goes back to like the spin the wheel, make the deal matches, or I guess maybe it was just one match. Oh no, there was a couple of them in WCW in the early 90s.
Okay.
Where you know, it was the same concept. You'd spin it, it'd be all these kind of crazy matches. The first one was Jake Roberts against Sting, and it landed on a coal miner's glove match, which was like the lamest option possible. and then Cactus Jack and Vader had one the following year, and I think that was a Texas Death Match, if I'm not mistaken.
I see.
It's a cool concept. Cool.
Yeah. Okay. But Max had an issue with the aesthetic. Like, he thought it looked a little too game showy to be part of like an underground fighting ring.
Right. I think it fits with Dario's personality, though. You know, he's kind of he's a showman.
Sure.
I think that's consistent.
I get it. I can see that. So as it rolls, we get one good line, read of him from Who Will It Be? That was really good. And it lands on Puma, which is great because, Matanza and Puma as a main event is huge. Dario Cueto kind of talks to the camera and throws the mic around. It's the first time we've seen him address the camera in a way that it was like an audience that I can recall. Right. He'll get in the middle of the ring and cut his promos and stuff, but I don't.
Yeah.
We kind of have an issue with it. Like, it's the same sort of thing. Like, Max has and me to some. I shouldn't be speaking just for him. Inconsistencies in what is, you know, the story and what is a wrestling show.
Right.
You know, and like if it's supposed
seems
to be
like they haven't.
Yeah, go ahead.
Haven't really worked that out completely. I said it seems like, yeah, they haven't really. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, no, it's true. I've watched, you know, a fair amount of season one, and yeah, it's true. There's there's something missing there.
Yeah, it just feels like it hasn't. I mean, it's like they're trying different things, and that's like, it didn't suck. Like, obviously, it's a great promo and a good way to cut to like that boah, like start the thing that they do. It's just it's another just kind of weird little inconsistency that. Whatever, maybe we're nerdy for looking into it, but whatever. So we go into.
No, I agree. I agree.
Okay, so we go into the temple, and I don't want to talk about the who the band was, because I mean, you got to see him for the first time, but
yes,
here's something cool that happened. I mentioned a couple weeks ago, we get a like, little spring in our step when a Lucha Underground wrestler retweets us or replies to us or whatever. I had said something kind of snarky on Twitter about this, where it was, because this is the fifth episode in a row with this band, and I had tweeted who among us, I don't know, remembers, are there some among us who remember when Lucha Underground used to rotate their bands or used to have different house bands? We do. And who should respond to me but Chris DeJoseph, executive producer of Lucha Underground, which is huge, and then explained to me that the recording schedule allowed them to have, or it had something to do with the TV schedule and rights to bands or something, to have one band for every 5 episodes. So we, like,
okay.
So
we've seen the end of the Chimps.
Yeah.
With
yes,
a Z.
Yes, I was trying to get through this episode without saying their name, but you, there it was.
Oh,
yeah. You got to see them.
No, I agree. They're awful.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. From a different.
Late '90s.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. So yeah. But that was cool. I mean, somewhat related to this is, like I said, Krista Joseph responded to us and, you know, liked our tweets and all this stuff. I explained to him that I had a fondness for the mariachi, more mariachi influenced, bands they've had
yes.
before.
Yeah.
But he, no, the other person who followed us, like just followed us out of nowhere, was Aerostar, which is huge. We don't get wrestlers that just straight up follow us. So we're really excited about that. Mm-hmm. And he's been awesome.
That's cool.
So that brings us to our episode.
Can't
of
get Bruno Sammartino to follow me, so
yeah. Oh really, that's awesome. That's
no,
awesome.
No, I can't get
oh
him
you
to
can't
follow.
Get him to oh shit. Yeah. I was like, wow, I can just imagine, like, who's
maybe
just...
Dominic can...
Awesome.
I don't think he's on.
Yeah. Probably not. Okay, so that brings us to our Kelly, you're well aware of our ongoing series of Man in the Wedge.
Yes.
Gotta get that wedge. You are right, of course. It's sweeping the nation. You know all about it.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm sure you made note of it as to who we saw.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling her Rainbow Bright. Is that cool?
Okay. Rainbow yeah. Bright, all right.
She had a sure. side ponytail. She was wearing a t-shirt that said Rainbow on it. She had bright lipstick, kind of flashy eyelashes. Yeah. Anyways, this is the first one that we've seen, first time we've seen her. The third official Man of the Wedge of the year. Keep this in mind.
A debut.
It's
debutante.
A huge. This is the issue that will be worth the more, or worth more in the future when Rainbow Bright character
yes.
explodes. Anyways, so this should be, maybe this is the start of a new shooting schedule, whatever. It's of note. We're trying to figure it out. So that leads us to our first match, Ivelisse versus Mariposa with Marty. Kelly, had you seen either of these two women work before?
Ivelisse for sure. Mariposa, I don't think so.
Yeah she was more in season 2, and even then she was used sparingly. I saw Ivelisse had a taped up shoulder to begin with. Vampiro tried mm-hmm. to get his stupid catchphrase over early. I'm sure you heard that. Did you?
What's
it? We're not going to repeat it. It's trash. it's like saying the name of the band that we saw for the fifth time.
I guess it can't be that good.
Yeah. So here's something weird too, is Vampiro, like, they're trying to talk about Mariposa's character, and Vampiro suggests that she might have psychological damage because she wears a mask. But everybody wears a mask in this
yeah.
like
yeah.
even on the streets. I don't know what he's trying to get over there.
Well, it's a different kind of mask.
I guess
it's
so.
Kind of
yeah, it's like
a little more disturbing.
A little more Hannibal Lecter. A dash of it, I suppose.
Yeah.
But still, man, she comes in with the same headdresses and gear and all that kind of thing. It was a weird distinction to make, is what I'm saying. Good work early. I thought particularly from Ivelisse, some nice kicks. Mariposa started working the limbs. We saw a nice, they called it a modified condo clutch. Does this sound right?
Condo clutch?
I never
heard of that
yeah,
before.
I can't even remember what it was. Marty's shenanigans, I thought, are starting to feel tired again, and he needs a new feud. I'm sure you heard we really liked the way his feud finished up with Killshot, but this seems like he's kind of regressing
right.
back to a spot where he was before, I think.
Yeah, I hadn't seen much of him before this, mm-hmm. and it struck me that he's basically doing like a Bray Wyatt type gimmick, like, you know.
But
kind of like
ball,
the
yeah.
weirdo.
Yeah, yeah, but kind of skeezball.
Like playing mind
games, obsessed with playing mind games. That's really
man, cool. I am, oof, I'm so over Bray Wyatt and put pairing him.
Yeah,
with, pairing him with Randy Orton just made it even more boring. That whole I had to watch that episode. I had to watch
21st
that.
21st century.
Yeah, I had to watch that pay per view late, and I knew I was excited to watch it, but I knew I could when that came late. I knew I could fast forward to the end. I knew I could. Like who cares? Anyways,
right?
Yeah, they're whatever. They both. We're not going to get into the issues there again that happened a little bit last week.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a nice. So again, I saw a nice crossbody from Ivelisse, but I think she needs a little more fire. Sexy Star isn't the wrestler that Ivelisse is, but she has like this raw energy when she comes out there. And if Ivelisse is trying to be the baby mm-hmm. face here, I find that she's she doesn't come off as necessarily as lazy, but doesn't quite have the spark she needs sometimes. It's a kind of the in between things that she does. Where you can tell she's not as like either in character or something. At least that's what I felt in this match. You saw a bit of a botch from Mariposa. Do you remember this?
Well, I did make the note that it was, you know, pretty clunky at times.
Yep.
A lot of the work between mm-hmm. the two of them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, Ivelisse hit that nice sunset flip power bomb at the end, which she does, and that always looks
right,
okay.
Yeah.
And then there's another post match beatdown for the Martinezes. Yeah, it was what it was. Ivelisse, she looked a lot better last season, I thought. And yeah, I'd agree. It wasn't as tight as we could be, or I don't know, as I've seen her do, but we don't really know how good of a wrestler Mariposa is. I might say, like, for if this was Ivelisse's a step back for her, this in a weird way, this is almost a kind of a step forward for Mariposa, because it's the first match I can remember where she was really kind of having a good kind of back and forth storyline.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, no, I dig her gear. Like, it's a really nice outfit. I like the concept, and I guess her finisher, I take it, is it's a cop killer, right?
Yes.
Homicides move.
Yeah.
Yeah. She didn't. She started, or she tried it.
That's
it,
right.
That's a very, of all the wrestling moves, that's one of the most dangerous, I would say.
Oh yeah.
Like if you've ever seen it, like someone hitting one, it just looks like it's like a pile driver, but like a reverse pile driver, basically, mm-hmm. where you're pile driving the person, but you're holding them behind your back.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
It's really, every time I see it makes me wince.
Yeah. Yeah. But what's a wrestler with a great finisher and nothing else? Right. That's
right.
Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin has a really good finisher, but not much more.
Yeah.
He'll be fine later, but I think that's a comparison that I would make with like Mariposa, or from what we've seen of her so far.
Yeah.
yeah, but like, you know, an okay yet best starter, passable, should we say?
Yeah. Okay? I might know it was mediocre.
Yeah. Okay. Good, good. Next scene. Dario Cueto's on the phone talking about how Matanza couldn't be beat. Not sure who it was he was talking to. Mundo enters, asks him if Divine Intervention gave him his abs. he's great, right? This is a guy who does kind of hold his own, even in these vignettes with the Master.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the highlight of this thing. They talk about Sexy Star, but Dario Cueto gives the... like he's trying to say, "Like, look, we beat them, so why should we get in this belt?" Because that's all Johnny cares about.
Right.
And he spins it. Dario spins it that Jack Evans had the pin on Sexy Star, so he should get the match. He's like, "Next week, what a great idea, Johnny." So, I guess mm-hmm. we're supposed to be seeing a little bit of dissension between the two here, or I don't know.
Now you'll have to remind me, Travis, because all I saw of season two was Aztec Warfare.
Mm-hmm.
In the first season, Dario and Mundo, like Dario hated Johnny Mundo basically, right? That was the
it wasn't
in the first episode, didn't he put a bounty on him, if I'm remembering?
In the first season?
Yeah.
But that's when he was a baby face.
Yeah. I'm just kind of want to know how that was.
Okay. So yeah, you could see how there might be, yeah, I guess we should be thinking really long term. These guys have had like this kind of these ongoing sort of business relationships.
And we love our business relationship with the good people at Place to Be Nation. And here's some words from them.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. And we now offer them to you on two great feeds as well. On the Place to Be podcast feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with clotheslines and headlines, main event, Mission Indie Possible, in our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on WWE, NXT, and Ring of Honor Super shows. Relive Wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse and the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling Podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. We also have sports covered too with the Sports Lounge, the TJ McClune Show, and NBA Team Podcast. On our brand new PTB Pop podcast feed, we offer great shows such as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both feeds on iTunes and be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to check out on the right-hand side of the site for details on how to support the site when you shop at Amazon and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
This is Parv, and I'm here to tell you to listen and subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation podcast network. That's the PWO PTBN podcast network, where you'll find a ton of in-depth shows done by hardcore fans. We've got Chris Zellner's 1-2 Punch of Exile on Bad Street, and with David Bickenspan, a smash hit Between the Sheets. We've got Wrestling Culture with Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave, Goodwill Wrestling and the reaction shows with Good Old Will from Texas. We got This Week in Wrestling with my man Pete and Johnny Sorrow, Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston's Pro Wrestling Super Show, Tag Teams Back Again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze, and a ton of other great shows too. And of course, there's Titans of Wrestling and Where the Big Boys Play with yours truly and some dude from down south called Chad. PWO, PTBN, Podcast Network.
We come back from the break, and do you remember that there was this little vignette about following a white rabbit? Do you remember this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think this is probably related to the pictures that were left on Dario's office in Dario's office earlier. Did you ever get to see the trailer for this season?
No, I did not.
Yeah, well, it was amazing, and it just showed just visuals that showed like a lot of people we hadn't seen before. A few were starting to show up. One of which is these guys that were kind of all in checkers that I thought was going to be Sami Callihan's new gimmick, but it turns out he's Ivelisse's skeezy boyfriend that we see later.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think this is related to those guys. I thought this was different from what Lucha Underground usually does. It's more in line with the Wyatt family and what we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. Whatever it was, we'll see if it pays off. So this led us to this next match. Between Tejano and Cage, you had heard it's best 3 out of 5.
Right.
And it's currently 1-0 Cage. I like this match. I don't. Max finds Tejano boring. I love his. I'm really growing attached to his work. I'll get to it in a sec. So I thought this had a good hot start. Oh, right away, here's a nice Canadian connection for
yes.
us. Yes. Comparing it to the 1972 Summit Series.
Between Canada and Russia.
Yeah.
It's in Canada, it's like up there with, you know, it's one of the biggest legends
sure.
in our country's history.
Yeah.
Because, we defeated those commie bastards.
That's like, right. If you ask Phil Esposito or Tony Esposito or whoever, they'll say it was that wasn't a hockey game. That was war, man.
Because back then the Soviets weren't professionals. They couldn't come to North America and play.
That's right. That's right. So
this was the only time that the best players in the world faced off.
Mm-hmm.
So not really the equivalent of
of match number two in a best of five series between Tejano and Cage. Vamp gets hyperbolic, as we've mentioned. I was just happy they mentioned it. That was a nice little, like I said.
Yeah,
So Tejano was doing a little more high risk stuff than he did. Took the match outside. There's some nice counters from both. You saw that spinning DDT from Cage, where, you see why we're kind of, at least have been impressed with the guy, is that he doesn't look like a guy who should be able to pull off moves like that, right?
Right. Oh, totally. Yeah, that's part of his appeal, is that he's a huge guy, a stereotypical muscle-bound dude that, you know, Vince McMahon would love, but he's got the high-flying side to him as well.
Yeah, he's got a rematch coming up in Vancouver with El Fantasmo. It went so well, and I guess he enjoyed himself the experience much.
That's cool.
Also, I should mention Killshot is working as well against El Fantasmo in a couple weeks here. As well, so that's a lot of Lucha Underground talent. Jeff Cobb's working in town, obviously. I mean, he's moving up, I would assume, in the Pacific Northwest, kind of doing a small little tour, and he's working with the other local promotion, Wise Pro Wrestling, here shortly too, just around Halloween time. So it's interesting that a lot of Lucha Underground talent are kind of making their way up to Vancouver.
Vancouver's getting a lot of good talent recently.
Yeah, it's exciting. So we see I thought this had a good back and forth. Tejano, here's what I used to, or with Cage, I used to have an issue with him for being a big guy, is that he didn't fight kind of smash mouth the way Sheamus does. But I will say it seems like he's hitting a lot harder or heavier than he used to. But maybe Tejano's more of a guy who's a more willing, kind of punching bag, right?
Right. Well, also, the whole lucha style of working can often be quite light. That's the criticism. They don't work as stiff as, for example, Japanese guys or a lot of the American guys. And Cage, he looks like a guy that is in the mold of a Sheamus, but he wrestles, more like a lucha guy. Totally like a lucha guy.
He does, but I am I am starting to see, because this Lucha Underground is a hybrid. I even think Tejano, to some extent, is. I see some American style wrestling, or more so than what I know of Lucha influences. Right,
that's true. And he's from the AAA promotion, which is the Americanized Lucha promotion in Mexico.
Yeah. So Tejano hits what I thought was a very nice, but I'm not sure. Oshikiroshi. Had you heard that before?
I guess that's the official name for it, but it's been used. It's used kind of by several guys now, isn't it? All of a sudden.
I hadn't heard that name before.
Right.
I didn't immediately associate it with any other.
What does Ty Dillinger in NXT do?
That's
the tiebreaker. I think it's the same thing, isn't it?
I think it's pretty close.
And AJ Styles has been known to bust it out.
Yeah.
It's suddenly become like the move du jour in 2016.
And then we see an Alabama slam from Cage with a like another super strong suplex from the outside over the ropes, which led to him hitting the, I guess that's a Lucha Destroyer, for the win. And I gotta say, I dropped snowflakes on this, another 3 stars. Oh. I thought it was a solid match, and I thought it followed a good set of logic that was different from their first match, which was Cage kind of attacking the neck. And in this one, it was just Tejano would get in, like, you know, his more whatever finesse moves, but the strength would continue to be too much for him, which is, you know, fine. If you're going to have to tell 5 different stories, I'm okay if they're just,
right, you know,
thing like this, as long as you're getting a nice variety. And it was a well-worked match.
Yeah, it was fast-paced. Yeah. It was, you know, only like 5 minutes long. Yeah. But yeah, no, it was a fine match for sure.
Yeah. So that brings us to our next scene, which is, as I had mentioned before, Ivelisse in the locker room, and enter Sammy Callahan, her skeezy boyfriend, whose name was Jeremiah.
Jeremiah Gray? Is that
Yeah, this is a letdown. For me, personally, like, Ivelisse, this is who you're rolling with now?
Right.
Yeah, like, it just looks like he's not, like, again, we know he's not really a wrestler, but he does, like, you know, I like busting heads like you, but he's like, so he's kind of like a hangers-on, like he's like a ring rat, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know too much about him as Sammy Callahan. I just know that this character is like miles more interesting than his NXT Solomon Crow,
yeah.
But he didn't really get much time.
No. Yeah,
down there, so it's not maybe a fair character.
No, I see something. And
yeah.
From like other.
He's very believable. Whatever. Like he comes off as like, this is who he is. Like, he's not pretending to be something. That's, and for a wrestler, I think that's very important to have that feel for your character.
Yeah, but I just like I think Ivelisse is great, and I guess this is a storyline for her, but if she's attached to just like some loser in a leather jacket.
Well, eventually she'll see the light. Maybe some other guy will come along. Like, I
hope so.
You
should have ended like with him asking her if he could borrow $10 or something.
Yeah.
As he walked out the door. That's kind of the vibe I got from the
dude. Totally.
Yeah. Well, so they argued a bit, and then he drinks from a flask and offers it to her, which, like, I guess continues this weird trend we're noticing of substance abuse in Lucha Underground.
Yeah,
it seemed a little weird. Again, I said before that I think sometimes one of our issues with Lucha Underground, and it's, you know, minor couple, so we wouldn't be talking about the show if we didn't love it overall, but is when they try to inject edge for the sake of edge.
Mm-hmm.
And
you don't mean the wrestler.
Yeah. Boy,
here he comes.
That would be
huge pop.
He's supposed to be retired. Doctor's orders. That's hilarious. This leads us to our main event, which is Prince Puma versus Matanza for the Lucha Underground Championship. Within this, you know, kayfabe Lucha Underground, two of the really hot talents, in the world of wrestling right now. A good chance this match was going to be a good one. And, you know, it starts off with Vampiro saying Puma needs more guidance and that he's broken. There's a quick high kick followed by monster clotheslines from Matanza. Puma was selling those clotheslines great, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like how he'd just like do the flip and a half with each
right.
one.
Yeah.
I remember when he had in a weird way, he sells his like post offense. Like, remember there was this kind of weird little sequence on the apron, and then he ran across and like hit a like running kick to Matanza's head, right. And even then he's like, it's almost like he can't control the velocity of his own leg, so he's kind of hanging off the side of the ring,
right? Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, it works for like the energy of his character, and everybody's just loving him, obviously.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's a great baby face.
Yeah. And I hear the first aw shit I can remember from the season as yes. Gonza moves the fight outside over to the announce table.
I wasn't sure if it was Vampiro or Stryker who said
it. I'm pretty sure it was Vampiro.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, Matanza throws Puma around. Puma really... He really helped, I think, other than... I guess you didn't get to see the first two matches.
No.
And you know, they still are out there losing to Matanza.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, making him look fierce. But I think Puma's made him look like more of a monster in this incarnation of where Matanza is as a character right now. Because remember, obviously, he looked like this unbeatable monster in... Aztec Warfare 2, right? and they've dialed that back a bit. But since definitely of the three Dario Dial the Dooms, our competitors, Puma's really made him look like that beast that they wanted to look like.
Right. And Matanza's been the champ ever since Aztec Warfare, right?
He hasn't lost,
yeah.
This is true.
Cool.
We see this good story, which is kind of what we had seen before, just not as overt in the Tejano cage of just like the stronger guy and if somebody trying to be quicker and just not being able to do it because the guy is too strong.
Mm-hmm.
Puma hits his 619 and they remind us of his match with Rey.
Yep.
And then that new kind of picturesque flying clothesline. I feel like he might have been doing it before, but he is, for some reason, it looks amazing this season. The second time we've seen him hit it, he had hit it on Mil Muertes in a run-in earlier.
Mm-hmm.
More offensive magic from Puma, as we always see. Tough German, followed by splashes, but... There's a really tough German from Matanza followed by splashes, but Puma catches him on the third one and turns it into that Northern Light suplex, that combination, that two suplex combination that he's able to do. And this one, it was just like, he really had to dig deep for it, but man, mixed in with all of the finesse and high flyers that flying to have stuff like that that's a real unique skill set, right?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. He's I've seen maybe now five or so of his matches, but he's really impressive. Like I said, great baby face. He's he should be in the big leagues. He should be in WWE
doing something.
And he will be eventually, I'm sure. But
you would think, but it sounds like and it sounds like he's really kind of he's got all the cards in his table, the ball in his court.
That's true. I mean, he's in demand. He's working in New Japan. He is in demand in North America. He can make a very good living without WWE. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, I thought he had this crowd red hot who really think he could win this. See the gut wrench power bomb and leads into an insane DDT counter. There's a spear, right? Mil Muertes comes running. This is later. So he gets him down and hits his 630. Mil Muertes comes running in with just another great spear that Puma sells like a champ again. Dario Cueto yells at Marty Elias to keep the match going. He's like, you didn't see anything! Katrina, looking a little nipply. I don't know if you noticed that.
Of course they did.
Gorgeous. Muertes hits. I remember Puma last week had hit a flatliner while looking at, which is Mil Muertes' finisher, while looking at him from outside of the ring. But Mil Muertes, the flatliner that he hit on Puma, this one is just nasty. Mm-hmm. And he leaves the ring, and Matanza hits the Wrath of the Gods for the win. I thought this was the best match of the season by far. I went 4.25 on it. I don't know if I'm going crazy, but I really, really liked this match. What'd you think?
Yeah, I highly enjoyed it. Great drama, great atmosphere. I love Puma. Like I said, he's really special. Matanza is great power wrestler. Great. He's able to project being like a total monster and unbeatable. So this like perfect matchup between the two of them, the Prince and the Monster. That was the title of the episode.
Yeah. And, oh yeah.
Yeah, great dynamic. Yeah, and the crowd, of course, they're 100% behind Puma, so you get that atmosphere. When a crowd's 100% behind one guy, that's really awesome. And they really wanted to see him win. And, yeah, the end there, it was believable that he was going to win because he hit him with his finisher, right? Or like a move nobody kicks out of. And,
yeah,
you know, the thing about Lucha Underground is, yeah, there was interference at the end and all that schmoz. But, I mean, that's just advancing things. Yeah. You know, it's early in the season. Of course, this isn't going to pay off right now. And, you know, it keeps Puma and Mil Muertes going. And going back to his spear, I will say it's miles better than Edge's spear.
Yes, yeah. That's the second time. It's a good thing Edge hasn't made these runs.
No, if he would have came to Lucha Underground, he'd have been laughed out of the building with that spear that he has.
You're right. I agree.
But yes, no, I'm glad. Like, I've done two episodes now for Lucha Underground, and I've been lucky to see two awesome matches. Like, the Aztec Warfare 2 was awesome, and main event on this show was awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm two for two here.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, just two guys who are just skyrocketing into stardom, you know? Mm. Or at least it looks like it.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
So this leads us to our last scene. It's Killshot in the weight room. Joey Ryan enters and gives him an envelope and asks him who gave it to him. And he, this is kind of the ironic line. What am I, a detective? And he opens it up and we see on what looks like, I don't know, a third grade project when you'd like use lemon juice and then put it under a flame whatever and a little bit of burnt paper on the side to make it look like an old treasure map or something. It's kind of a cheap prop is what I'm saying. Mr. Joseph, I love you. I'm so happy you wrote back to us and responded to us. We love the show. I just think we could have done a little better on the whatever the ransom note thing is here. Anyways, it said you left me for dead. So that's our cliffhanger. In the trailer, you do see, I don't know, have you heard of the wrestler A.R. Fox, Kelly?
I've heard of him, yes.
Yeah. I've never seen him wrestle. I was told that's who is in the trailer. And he is, it's the guy who's in, like, looks like a guy who'd be in, like, army fatigues or something. So I assume that's, related to Killshot's military history.
Okay, cool.
That's my guess. That's my hot take. I don't have, as I'm sure you've all noticed already, is that we are soundboard free.
I can do my best. Everybody listen up. Tighten up your buttholes.
I think AR Fox is the next feud with Killshot. Thanks. Good job, Kelly. Good work. I think we covered everything. We always, like to mention wrestlers who weren't on the episode. And, Drago wasn't there, but who cares? He just usually shows up with, his one, I believe it's a purple outfit he wears all the time. And that's that.
Well,
so,
now, wait a minute. I haven't seen a lot of Lucha Underground, but I do know that Drago, in fact, has several different outfits and has worn several different outfits over the course of three seasons. So you're mistaken there, pal.
All right. Agree or disagree, Mr. Ken Burns of Wrestling. Anyways, Callie, honestly, thank you for doing this again.
Yeah, anytime.
You're the reason why we're on the Place to Be Nation, and it's great for you to help us out. We are going to, right after we're done here, lead right into start recording our next episode of the Stampede Territory under the Titans of Wrestling banner on the PWO PTBN network. So you guys should look out for that. Should be dropping like right after this this episode drops. Beyond that, like I said, I'm working a lot. I'm getting a lot of acting gigs. Another commercial should be coming out soon. This one was a lot of fun to work on. Sort of financial group, I can't remember the name of it, but it's epic. Like I said, I had I aged from the 1950s to present day.
Oh, that's what all the mustaches.
That's what, all the different mustaches through the ages. And Kelly, I saw new tags teams back again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Marty Sleaze and I put that one out last week. Tag teams back again. 80s, late 80s WWF tag team wrestling. We're into the summer of 88 now, and we've got the Rockers now on the scene. Cool. So there's going to be a lot of good matches to review.
Awesome. Going forward. Yeah, two of the show favorites right there. Mm-hmm. Right?
Oh yeah, big time.
So that's great. You just had the Mystery Titan Theater drop too, right? Another week ago with Parv.
With Parv, yeah, we did a couple in a few days, I think it was.
Yeah. Okay. I started one. It's kind of my the last thing I put on, kind of thing is a Mystery Titan Theater. Always good, always funny, always unique, to say the least.
Yeah, we're going to probably get that on the Place to Be Nation soon, because as of right now, it's kind of like this secret thing that if you're on the ProWrestlingOnly.com message board, you'd be aware of it. But we haven't really advertised it too much beyond that. It's a YouTube thing where we watch old cards, old WWF cards, and do the Mystery Science Theater treatment on it. Yeah, and it's always fun, yeah. Because it is a mystery, because usually I don't want to know what matches are going to come up.
That's the best thing about it.
And what wrestlers are going to be on it, and then you're just
ripped. Or if it's going to be an absolute shit card, or if it's going to be a surprisingly good card.
Exactly,
right?
That's true, because we've had a lot of surprisingly good cards. And we've had a lot of shit cards. So,
yeah. either way, it's it's fun to watch. So this is by the time I will talk to you guys again for next episode, it will be with, as we said, our one of Kelly's fellow Titans, Pete, and at least that's the plan to do that. But before that, I will have seen that episode or that live event in Yakima, Washington for Lucha Limitado, which I will be happy to share a report with everybody from that show as well. Mm-hmm. but yeah, Kelly, anything else?
No, that's all, man.
All right, that's for us. Until next time, or we'll be here next time. The question is, will you join us?